Now we come to Don Rickles. You know, a lot of people wonder why Don is so mean. There's a reason for that. You see, he's been that way ever since he found out Eva Braun was two-timing him. There he is, the star of the last 10 days of Rickles, Don Rickles.
The greatest thing I can say to Governor Reagan or Regan, whatever they call, what do they call you, Governor? The greatest moment I remember in your career was when you said to Pat O'Brien, the Gipper is dying. And I got an uncle that thought it was a fish. Now the Gentile gentleman here had no idea, a kipper. That's a Jewish fish, don't be dumb, I hate a dumb guy. He wouldn't be governor if my people didn't go, okay. There's always one dumb guy in the audience. And you're probably important. My luck, you'll be the president of NBC. Isn't this fun, governor, huh? Better than trying to hit Jess Unruh with your car. Those of you from all around the United States, Jess Unruh is a great Democratic candidate who opposed many things that the governor did, and he's a great politician, and the governor will be the first to agree. And that's what makes our country so fantastic, that we have different people, as I do. I stand on a stage or on a lectern, or I stand here next to Dean Martin, one of the great guys, and I say this from my heart, Dean, you have a problem. And the governor is the great politician of all time. He laughs at anything. My brother died. I tell you out there, America, our governor is dumb. That's a joke, governor. Can you see it when this show is off the air and the governor's over the room with three guys from the state troopers? All right, Jew, let's hear the joke about the governor. Let's hear the one about him being dumb. Let's go. I don't know who you are in the middle, but you're starting to get on my nerves. There's one guy with a honker that's sucking up his lip. My luck, this will be Richard Nixon's bodyguard. They talked about you, my dear friend and honorable governor. And sir, we've never met formally, as we've said before. But I will never forget the stories I've heard that you standing on the White House lawn, throwing rocks at Richard Nixon's window going, Dick! Don't beg, don't beg. Tell him like a man. You're an actor. Phony it up. Just stand on the lawn and say, move out of there! Is this too fast for you, Dean? Dean Martin came from Youngstown, Ohio. Is that right, Dean? Steubenville. Why, that's better? You, governor, are a great man. You can tell because you don't see many governors with clip-on bow ties. Fun is fun. There are many people that are planted around here to look like they enjoy this. But Dean Martin said to me when Governor Reagan or Regan, whatever they call you, Reagan, I don't care. What do I care what they call you? You're the governor, and if I got a cousin getting the chair, you better make that phone call. I say this from my heart, Governor. I've met you once in the hallway at NBC, as you remember. And I'll never forget your words. Get out of the way, kid. I kid you, sir. You are a politician. Black, white, Jew, Gentile. We're all working for one cause. to figure out how you became governor.
Welcome to the Nerds Podcast. I'm your host, Matt Ginnert, alongside Brendan Valentine.
Hello, hello.
Oh, I thought about starting off with Saget, but last night I watched, it's a new documentary, actually. It came out just last year, called Mr. Warmth. And I thought, Rickles is just, I don't know why we've never brought him up when we talk about the greats.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's one of the, because he is one of those ones that.
Is it because he worked clean? Is that why we don't?
I don't know if it's that he worked clean or it was the fact that, I mean, he was hilarious and he would tear you apart and make you ask for more.
Yeah.
Which is what makes him so amazing. I mean, I have never seen one with Don Rickles where you aren't dying. And I mean, his roast, he is, I mean, honestly, the original roast master.
Yeah. Yeah, he was on them all. His whole getup is just pretty amazing, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have a Jew who ended up in World War II because he signed up to be the comedian, and he ended up in boot camp on a boat in the Philippines.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then he comes out, and I mean, God, if you had no clue who Don Rickles was, maybe you need, even if you did, with the way Uptight is going, he would be canceled in a heartbeat today.
Oh, yeah.
Because it didn't matter, black, white, Asian, like, it didn't matter.
Didn't matter. I mean, whoever you were, he was going.
Right, but there was never any N-words.
No.
There were probably a few Asian slang that
possibly.
You...
I mean, and it's one of those. And I hate to say this, and I know people get mad when you say this, but it's true. At the time, that was just it was normal. I mean, if that makes sense. I mean, it wasn't. You know, I mean, it doesn't make it right, but it wasn't like
no. But you have to be judged on the time era you lived in.
Yes. Because, I mean, he sat there even in that bit where he keeps making the joke, the Jew and the Gentile and all that, but that was his thing. Because, I mean, he, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, he was the Jew making fun of the Jews. But, I mean, it was just kind of one of those things. I mean, he did use, you know, some slurs. But, I mean, at the time, that's unfortunately the way it was.
To the best of my knowledge, he never used the N-word.
Most of the ones. I don't think he ever did. And I mean, it was one of those ones. I think if he used some of the Asian slang, I don't think it was a lot. I mean, it was just.
Yeah.
Kind of in passing. I mean, it was just he said it because it was just something you said at the time.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, you said all of them at the time. But.
Yeah.
But so anyways, yeah, you have this, you know, Jewish guy ripping including his own kind up, just ripping everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Who is. Somehow magically ends up knee deep with the mob where I say mob because of the Rat Pack.
Oh yeah.
But when you're watching this documentary, there's a part on it that talks about how Rickles had his job. I think it was at the Stardust or the Sands,
mm-hmm.
old hotel in Las Vegas. And he talks about, yeah, I was mobbed up. Like I could walk in anywhere and they just cleared the room for me. Like, wherever I wanted to go. He was talking about some guy that I think he said Frank set him up with. And they were walking into a place, and somebody screamed out, Don Rickles, I don't like you. And he turned around, and this guy that Sinatra had set him up as security had the dude on the ground beating the shit out of him already. And Rickles went over and was like, what are you doing? He said, this guy said he didn't like you. Like, this is how we fucking do things. He's like, whoa. And I don't know about you, but me personally, if I'm, and I have no problem, I've never had any problem doing crowd work. Right. Mm. But if I'm sitting in, especially in Las Vegas, in a Rat Pack hotel, and I look down and I got Sinatra with Jimmy the Chin and Dean Martin with Sammy the Ear and, you know, all these there ain't no fucking way I'm making a joke at any one of them.
Oh, and he would.
Yeah.
He'd go after every single one of them.
And they just laughed, and they loved him.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, my God, did they love him. You
know? It's like, you know, you watch those old roasts, and I mean, it's the roasts today are good, but those old ones, I mean, they were brutal.
Yeah.
And the whole time when he's going after him, but not the ones today are brutal in more of a dirty way. They were brutal to each other back then in a way that wasn't really even dirty. But it's like you look at the stuff what he's saying about Reagan the whole time, and Reagan is about falling out of his chair laughing.
Yeah.
At the stuff he's saying to him. And it's just like, you know.
And it's
funny.
There's actually another documentary on him on how he was not a Reagan supporter whatsoever. Yet he was voted to both inaugurations from Reagan because Reagan loved his comedy.
Oh, yeah.
I want to say it was.
They're not thing asking, you know, hey, we've all trying to figure out how the hell you got in the office.
Well, I think it was Reagan's second inauguration as president when Rickles was there. And came right out and was just like, I did not vote for you. Like, you're not the guy that I had picked to be here. I think who ran that year was a Mondale, maybe.
I think so.
But, yeah, he goes into a whole big bit about how he wanted Mondale and blah, blah, blah. And, you know. Yeah, but this documentary, it starts off from when he was real young up until his final years, his final residency in Vegas.
Yeah.
You know, and so tons of interviews with actors and comedians and shit from his early start. He started in comedy in strip clubs.
That'd be interesting.
Two dancers would go, and then he'd come out on stage and tell 5 minutes of jokes. And he said he was on a comedy rotation with like three other comedians, and he did it 5 nights a week. That job wasn't available. I'm not a big fan of bar shows, but fuck. I think I would have taken that one.
I think so. I could use that one joke I used at the Jiggles the one time when I sniffed this thing and said it smelled like desperation or something. But, you know, sniff the pole. But, I mean, that would be an interesting one of just like, how do you...
Would it be weird? So, I think you could get away with a shit ton more, right? One, most strip clubs aren't your... most upstanding, at least hoity-toity citizens.
Yeah.
Right? But two, it's all dudes.
Yeah.
But three, you got two girls that just came up, danced. And back then, of course, you know, it was more burlesque. It wasn't, they called it a strip club, but it was pasties, right? They didn't even get, today, yeah, the shit they do on stage. So all of a sudden, you look out, and you got 100 dudes with boners. You care to fucking tell me how you continue to perform?
I see, the thing is I feel like Don Rickles would freaking thrive in that environment because he'd be the one to walk out there and be like, hey, bet you weren't expecting to see this, you know, kind of thing. And I mean, I feel he would just be hilarious and just make comments of, you know, them, you know, having boners. And I'm like, hey, want a quick way to get rid of your boner? I'm here, you know, kind of thing. I mean, it would be, I could see him just having a blast.
Oh, I could. I was talking about like me, but I don't know if I could do it.
Oh, you? You could. I honestly think you could. I'd have more problems because I think that would be an environment where an insult style comic could do that, where I can do crowd work, but I'm not really good where you know, you could like go after somebody. I mean, on the stage and you're good at it. It's like the one thing we can go all the way back to your live shot show, which I still remember you going after the guy for having the big shoes and the short shorts, being like, those shoes don't match because if you had the, you know, the penis to match those shoes, they'd be coming out your shorts, you know, and just totally went after that guy for like 5 minutes.
Yeah. And then I ran into that guy at the urinals.
Yeah. So, and I mean, that's one of the things your style would fit that. I don't think I could make fun of the guys in a way of like, hey, you know, I'm married too, and I understand why you're here, but I mean, that kind of stuff. But
yeah, but I just have it in my head that you're going to see some unsavory things, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's one of the reasons I don't like, I mean, I'm not a huge fan of strip clubs to begin with, but you always see a wiener.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you're almost bound to see a wiener by going to a strip club.
Oh, yeah.
Because you have some perv over there. It's the same reason why every time I read a Jonas Barnes post, typically about something in the subway or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And some, like...
He's got some good ones.
I keep thinking, there's no way I'm going to New York. Like, New York does not enthrall me at all. And I don't have a problem with wiener, but there's a proper time and place to see a wiener.
Yeah, it's when you're driving down the road and you're the headliner you're taking with you pulls it out.
Oh, yeah, but I apologize. I mean, 5 years doing the show, and if we've talked about Rickles, it's only been in passing.
Yeah.
And Rickles definitely needs to be discussed. I don't think like he would jump into my Mount Rushmore that we've always talked about.
I don't think he would. I mean, he's one of my favorites. He's gonna be up there in the top.
But
10.
He's got argument status.
Yes.
You know,
he's definitely gonna be in the top 10, and he's pushing, you know, towards that. But I mean, I don't know if he'd be on my Mount Rushmore.
And like a lot of these guys talked about him on this documentary, and they said he never wrote material.
I can see that.
All he did was clown. And he may come up with a new, for lack of a better term, but something he referred to it as a new Jew joke. And so he'd walk out and find the guy he thought was Jewish and use that rip.
Yeah.
You know, but to sit there and write down, like you and I do, to write down a story, you know, and somehow exaggerate a story into a funny bit that more than you can enjoy.
Yeah.
You know, which is the challenge. So, yeah, I just, the documentary was awesome. It was warm. It was heartfelt. Bob Saget was on there. And for those who haven't heard, Bob Saget passed away.
I know. I was sad to hear that.
I was too. It was a shocker.
It was, and it's one of those things, and I've told people this before, it's not that Bob Saget wouldn't be even in my top 10.
Hmm. Not even close.
I mean, he can be funny at times, but he wouldn't even be in my top 10 of comedians. I mean, I've watched a couple of his specials, and you'll laugh here and there. Yeah. His was more almost the shock value of... You know, like I was talking to someone the other day, you know, when he died, I was at my sister's house, and we said something, and one of my nieces was like, oh yeah, he was great. And you know, Full House and all that. And he was such a wholesome type person or whatever. I'm like, you obviously never saw his comedy. Cause yeah. I mean, there was times that he'd make Andrew Dice Clay look like he was PG-13.
Oh, not times, all the time.
Yeah. I mean, he was a dirty, dirty motherfucker, and not even, it wasn't like he came out that way after Full House. He was that way before Full House. It's like,
I like to describe it. Like, we all know the line, right? And you have comics that don't even want to get close to the line.
Yep.
You have comics that will get up close to the line but refuse to cross it. You have comics that ride the line and sometimes step left or right of it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then you have the ones who just cross the line. And then you have Bob Saget. He's all the way fucking down there by himself, way past the fucking line.
He lived on the other side of the line.
Yeah.
He didn't just cross it sometimes. That's just where he lived.
Right. Bob Saget starts every joke at that first part of, I don't want to cross the line.
Yeah.
And then I think that's my problem with Bob, right? His jokes start off as a joke and then kind of keep progressing and then all of a sudden go completely off the rails to where I just don't think it's funny anymore. Like you said, you laugh, you laugh, you laugh, you laugh. And then you look and you're like, what the fuck was that?
Mm-hmm.
How did you go from talking about telling a guy not to fuck a goat to you fucking the Olsen twins in the same breath?
Yeah, and that was it. He would start off and you kind of, like you said, you're ha, 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 ha. And then you're like, whoa.
Yeah. Yeah, like dark. One of the things, though, but you're right. Right. Bob Saget was, I mean, he was our childhood.
He was.
Not the whole thing, but I mean, it was hard to get away from Bob Saget, even if he tried.
Oh, yeah, because, I mean, Full House, and then he was America's Funniest Home Videos, you know, for years. And, I mean, he was everywhere.
Yeah. And
But that was the funny part. And, I mean, I even remember watching a special where they did an interview with him, and he said one of his favorite things to do was to watch the people in the crowd that you knew thought he was Danny Tanner.
Oh, yeah.
And just watching them after, like, a minute, the, like, blank look on their face, and watching them just, like, walk out like a zombie, like, oh, my fucking God.
Yeah. Now, I know it's not conclusive yet, but one of the at least good feels about it was that it was not, does not look to be drug related.
Yeah, that, I mean, I'll be honest, and it sounds bad to say this, that was my first thought.
it was mine too, because he was wide open with his addiction problem.
Oh, yeah.
And as we know, all addicts are susceptible to falling back.
They are. And what a lot of people don't really realize, you know, with a lot of those addicts, and why the ones that fall back end up ODing, is they go back and do what they were doing, and they don't have that tolerance anymore.
Yeah. Well, and but, like, I mean, we've just gone 2+ years of a pandemic where even famous comedians weren't working. Comedy clubs were closed. I mean, they just couldn't help it. Yep. Right. And then you have Bob, who truly was a huge family man. So for 2 years, he's been home with them. This was his first tour since COVID.
Yeah.
Now he's on the complete opposite side of the country, away from his wife, his kids, you know, by himself. And, yeah, you just, that was my first thought. Like, how easy is it to, I mean, we know, you know, when you stop comedy and then get back into it, it does something to you.
Yes, it does.
It messes with your mind. Like, why did I go, why did I put myself through this shit again? Like,
yeah.
You know, I don't drink at all. I go to a comedy show. First thing I do is buy a beer. Like, you know.
Well, yeah, I do the same thing. Every time I go, I mean, I barely drink now. But every time I go, you know, to Cole Street, I have probably 4 or 5 beers.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then I got to watch it, because then I'm like, oh, wait, I haven't been drinking. I don't have a tolerance. And I got to drive home.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear you. Like, so when that came out, I was super excited. Now, all these other wackadoos with their conspiracies, really what I'm hope, I mean, I can't hope for him to be alive, right? We know that's not happening.
No.
So really what I'm hoping for is both his sisters died real young of heart problems,
mm-hmm.
different heart diseases, things like that. He's talked about his uncles being dead before 50 with heart problems. Like, it's a, you know,
it's a family thing.
Yeah. So I'm hoping, just for the sake of my imagery of Bob really trying to clean himself back, you know, his comedy never cleaned up, but cleaning his life back up, actually being settled down. Cause there was that thing for a while too, where he was dating 19, 20 year olds and, you know,
mm-hmm.
doing all that, you know, going crazy and doing all that shit too. And so there's that part of me that just wants to hope it was quote unquote God's plan and not Bob's dumb doing.
Yeah. And I agree with that. I mean, it's one of those things that, I mean, it sucks to say that, but I mean, he, like you said, conspiracy theory wise, whatever you want to go in, your crazy theories that people have, which they always have this messed ones out there. he's unfortunately has died, but the fact that it's not, you know, right now is looking like it's not drug related is a huge win for me too. I'm like, oh, thank you for, you know, letting that not be it.
Yeah
And it is what a lot of things that I've read, it sounds like with that there is a very good chance that it was, you know, heart related, just like the way they found him, you know. Yeah
Although my big fear, if it was heart related, I think it would be known already, but they got to wait the 10 weeks for the toxicology.
Yeah.
So who knows? But anyways, I do think we lost a guy who's got his place in comedy.
Yes.
He was not everybody's cup of tea, even those he worked with. But you talk to any of those that he worked with, and whether they liked his comedy or not, every single person had the same. And even before he died, that Bob Saget was the nicest man in show business.
Yeah. And that's what I've heard. I mean, he was a dirty, filthy comedian, but he was everything I've always heard about him. he was one of the nicest people in Hollywood.
Yeah. Heard that a lot. So also I saw Sidney Poitier died.
I saw that too. That bothered. I that sucks.
You know,
what's really bad is, I mean, this is one of the things that just makes me sometimes really question my wife. I was like, Sidney Poitier died. She's like, who? I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with you? How do you not know who Sidney Poitier is? So, yeah.
Yeah. All I got to say is, okay, Betty White, Sidney Poitier, Bob Saget, who died yesterday? Singer.
Singer died yesterday?
Yep. Hold on here. I can't remember. I can't believe I'm fucking blanking on her name. Ronnie Spector.
Oh, I did it. I did see
from the Ronettes. Someone...
Yeah, it was Iron Sheik posted something about her. So
died yesterday. You know, we did this a few years ago when all of a sudden that big spell of celebrity deaths, and we said protect Betty White. Somebody better. We can't protect Betty White anymore. Somebody better get over there and protect fucking Mel Brooks.
No shit.
You know. That's who I'm going with. Somebody get over there and protect fucking Mel Brooks. So.
Yeah. He's amazing. Someone better protect him.
Yes. You're watching something, not focused at all.
No, I was reading because I looked up the celebrity death, so I was seeing if there's anyone else.
Oh, this year alone?
Yeah. Yeah. So. There's no one really. I mean, there's, you know, Robert Bruce, who was one of the comic book men.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Whatever happened with that story? All I knew is they found him in his storage unit, which he used. I guess he used it as his office.
It says all they say is Robert was found dead in a New Jersey storage facility that he called home. And they said, well, foul play is not suspected. It's revealed that there is an investigation underway.
Yeah.
So that's all they've gotten so far on that. And that was on January 1st.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that. So crazy, crazy.
It is. And it's really, really weird. And it's another one of those years. But I'm hoping, I mean, yeah, there's a few that need to be protected. Mel Brooks, you know, I know you're not as big a fan, but William Shatner, I mean, all those.
Oh.
I love the Shat.
I don't necessarily love the Shat. Like you said, I'm not a huge, but again, right, culture icon from my time.
Yeah.
I mean, Captain Kirk, of course, is just Captain Kirk.
And his music, I mean.
Get the fuck out of here with that. You know, I also think of T.J. Hooker.
Yep.
But even in the later years, right, you saw him every fucking 7 minutes during commercial for Priceline.
Mm-hmm.
You know, until they got Callie Cuoco to be his daughter on it.
Yeah.
So, and then she kind of took over. And I don't know where it's at now, but beauty about streaming, you don't see a lot of commercials anymore.
No, you don't. I do a little bit because I use a lot of Amazon Prime where I end up seeing a bunch. But that's mainly because we've been the show we've been watching to sleep to right now is Rockford Files. So
I started watching Night Court.
Where'd you find Night Court?
A free channel on Prime is IMDb.
And they have Night Court?
And they have Night Court.
Because I looked for it a while back because they're talking about doing a new rebooting it.
They are rebooting it, and I don't know how I feel.
I'm not sure because, well, it's
Larry Kett's coming back.
And it's supposed to be a continuation, and it's his daughter.
Is, yeah, going to be played by the lady who played Bernadette from Big Bang Theory. Initially, when written, it was supposed to be Harry T. Anderson. Or Harry T. Stone, Harry Anderson was the actor's name.
Yeah.
And then he died. And so they had to it was supposed to be rebooted like 8-9 years ago, whatever it was.
He's been dead longer than that, hasn't he?
I don't know.
I thought Harry Anderson, because he's from, like, he lived on Mercer Island.
Yeah, he's a dick.
Oh, I heard that. Yeah, I heard he was a freaking raging asshole.
I waited tables on him a few times at Jay Berry's up in North Bend. Yeah. He's a dick and a poor tipper.
I heard that about him.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I mean, I think, I mean, it's an interesting, who knows, because Night Court is my childhood. I was that kid that, you know, everyone else wanted to watch cartoons and I wanted to watch fucking Night Court.
We didn't have a chance to watch. We didn't have a chance to watch cartoons, right? We had 7 channels.
Yeah.
And cartoons were on Saturday mornings and one channel had them on for 2 hours in the afternoon before the news.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was what we had for cartoons.
That was. So, but I mean, I loved Night Court. And I mean, I can't remember who I was talking to the other day where I'm like, oh yeah, Night Court, that's where Brent Spiner got his start. And they're like, no, he got his start on Star Trek. No, he was the crazy freaking like hillbilly lunatic on Night Court. And he was my favorite character. He cracked me up.
Yeah, I remember like Night Court. I wasn't a MASH fan and I take a lot of heat for it all the time.
I only was, not because I was a huge MASH fan. It was more just because that's what my dad watched, so that what I watched.
I think that's why I didn't like it, because that's what my dad watched. And
which always killed me, because my dad literally was in Korea. I'm like, why do you want to fucking watch this again?
Yeah. my dad fucking loved MASH, and but like the house had to be dead silent when it was on. And you were constantly being yelled, like if you moved before commercial, you were being yelled at, or, you know.
Yeah.
So I always associate being screamed at with MASH. Hence the reason I don't like it.
I can see that.
But Cheers, that was another one, like as a kid, I wanted to be a part of watching.
Oh, I love that, too. Woody.
Married with Children.
I think that's why I love Woody Harrelson so much, is because he was Cheers, and he was just so amazing in that show.
You know, and they had the quote-unquote family shows, but they weren't cartoons, right? Different Strokes. Silver Spoon.
Yeah.
Punky Brewster.
And I mean, the only ones on those that I really liked was, I mean, Punky Brewster, I think, was the only one. And that was really because I had a crush on Punky Brewster.
Yeah. I liked, but I think that was me trying to be older like my brother. I liked Different Strokes. And I liked Silver Spoons because it had stuff that I knew I would never be able to have. Like a train throughout my house.
Yeah.
You know. I couldn't.
Which was amazing.
I couldn't tell you storyline one from that show.
I couldn't either. But I just remember the train, and I mean, I remember there was, I think Punky Brewster was on it.
Maybe.
I think there was crossovers.
You know, Facts of Life was another one.
Yeah.
What else do we have? WKRP in Cincinnati.
Of course. I mean, you had the turkey drop.
Had to watch that one. I mean, yeah, we didn't, you know, a lot of these young kids don't understand, like, we didn't have cartoons to watch as kids.
No.
You know, and VCRs weren't necessarily prevalent in our early childhood in every home.
No, I mean, my dad had the Betamax.
We had a VCR, but it was, God, I don't think we got it till I was like 8 or 9, 7, 8, something like that.
Yeah.
And it was a gift, and then when my mom working at Hobart's store, she got free rentals. So we would bring home movies.
My dad was one of those weirdos. He had to have like the most newest technology. So even though he could never figure out how to use it. So we had the VCR, we had Betamax, and then we had the VCR because Betamax didn't quite make it.
My grandma and grandpa had Beta, yeah.
Yeah, so he had the Betamax because he thought that was going to be the next big thing, and it didn't work. So I think he even had Laserdisc because my dad thought that was going to be the next big thing. Didn't work.
Oh.
You know there's a new Punky Brewster series?
Yeah. Yeah, with Salil Moonfry. I also saw the rebooting Fraggle Rock.
How do you reboot Fraggle Rock? Just play the old ones.
It's going to be HBO Max.
Just play the old one.
They redid Sesame Street, too. They bought Jim Henson.
Well, you can't. What, they bought his body?
No, his properties.
I was going to say, he's dead.
Well, yeah, but they could. Fuck, you could still buy Walt Disney's body if you got the money. It's frozen.
That sounds weird. I thought they just froze his head and it's underneath Disneyland.
Yeah, something like that. I thought it was in a cryo chamber in Arizona.
I don't know. There's all sorts of crazy theories on that one. There's supposed to be some big sex like party thing underneath Disneyland too, but you go down enough rabbit holes, you find some very interesting things. You're like, people believe this shit?
Oh boy. Oh, Donald. Speaking of Disneyland, I saw what animal is Goofy?
Goofy's a dog.
He's a fucking cow.
No. His girlfriend was a cow. He was a dog.
No, look it up.
No, we had this argument. Me and Benton just had this argument recently where there is one of those things that there is some site that says he was a dog. He was a cow. But if you actually look it up on Disney, he was originally, his original name was something dog. So, but his girlfriend was a cow.
Well, Clarabelle cow.
Yeah, Clarabelle was his girlfriend. She was a cow. But that's one of those things that really me and Benton were talking about this. Does that make his son half dog, half cow?
Yeah, his name was Dippy Dog originally.
Yeah. Because me and Benton were looking at this earlier a little while ago, and then we had the whole thing of, does that make his son a half dog, half cow? Because, and then does that make the cow, Clarabelle, whatever, dead? Because she was dead in the Goofy series.
I'm reading Snopes right now to see what... The Disney cartoon character Goofy was modeled after a breed of Scottish cow is false.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, like I said, me and Ben had this argument a little while back. Mm-hmm. And we had to look it up. Because actually, me and Benton both said he was a dog and Amber thought he was a cow. And we're like, no, he's a fucking dog.
I did learn, speaking of like a switcheroo or do you know or anything like that, Hook. We both know the movie Hook.
Yeah.
Did you know Glenn Close was in Hook?
Yeah, she's one of the pirates.
No fucking clue. I heard that yesterday. And
yeah, I found that out a little while back, and I had to go look. And I mean, it doesn't look anything like her. I mean, the makeup.
Well, she's a man pirate in it.
Yeah, she's a male pirate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Glenn, so as I was scrolling through this, just to double check to make sure what I heard was right, I can't believe some of the actors that were in this movie that I don't ever think of as in this movie. Gwyneth Paltrow was in Hook.
What?
She was young Wendy.
Oh, she was.
David Crosby from Crosby, Stills, and Nash was Tickles. Tony Burton, who was Apollo Creed's trainer, was Bill Jukes. Jimmy Buffett was the shoe-stealing pirate.
Huh.
Carrie Fisher and George Lucas were a couple kissing on the bridge.
Wow, they got them all in there.
How the fuck do you get those two to agree to a kissing scene and not be credited in a movie?
I think it was just one of those things that every once in a while you have one of those things. It's like, this movie's going to be funny. Let's just randomly. It's like where you get the, you know, what is it? The Euro trip where you got freaking Matt Damon playing a freaking weird punk rocker that he's not. The Scotty doesn't know.
Yeah.
You know, where he's not credited at all. And you're just sitting there. You're like, wait a minute.
No different than when he was in Deadpool
as
one of those guys in the back of the truck when Cable first lands to, you know, 2019 or whatever it was. Yeah. Or Loki.
Oh.
He was Loki, right?
Yeah, he played play. Was it Loki or yeah, he was Loki in a play. Yeah. And then there's another one where he's, oh, what's the movie where it's him and freaking, isn't it him and Tudyk that play that like the what movie was that?
Alan Tudyk, right? Yes, yeah. I can fucking, oh my god.
Where they play they're two like hillbilly brothers or something on a truck, and I can't remember who.
That's Deadpool too.
Is that in Deadpool?
Yeah, that is Alan Tudyk. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Then that was the movie I was thinking of. Yeah.
When Cable lands and they're in the back of that truck and Cable's like, "What year is it?"
Okay. Yeah.
Oh,
that's a movie. Speaking of Tudyk, I can't wait for Resident Alien to come back the second season.
Oh, that's right. That show. I haven't watched it, but I remember you talking about it.
You've got. He's so good at that show.
I remember you talking about it.
It's one of those things. Me and Amber Bay said he is like, and it sounds bad to say this, like the less sexy Ryan Reynolds.
Oh, speaking of Matt Damon's buddy. Did you hear the fucking possible horrible news?
No.
It's been confirmed that Marvel asked Ben Affleck to be in Multiverse of Madness.
Oh, fuck me gently with a chainsaw.
It has not been confirmed if he agreed to it or not.
Now, is he going to be coming back?
Yeah, that would be my guess.
Come on, you just brought the good there, the good one into the show.
Yeah. What the fuck?
Yeah, what the fuck?
What the fuck?
And I could see it. I mean, not to sound bad, they've gotten really good at those, you know, just stupid jokes, those one-off. And I could see that just being like a one-off where all of a sudden he pops up and everyone's like, who the fuck? You know, so the whole crowd's like,
Yeah, I don't know.
Did you see the Fantastic Four trailer?
No.
How the fuck did you miss the Fantastic Four trailer? Mr. Fantastic Four.
Fuck, I don't know. I've been dead with COVID. Now, I've literally either sat on my bed or on the couch for like 11 days and slept a good portion of it. Oh, that was the other thing, mind you, that I heard.
Yeah.
Is Chris Evans is going to play two characters in Multiverse of Madness.
Does that mean they're bringing back the Four?
That would be my guess.
Oh.
This isn't the right. That's from 6 years ago.
This one. I just watched it. There it is. Exclusive trailer down below. Fantastic Disney Plus.
I didn't think Krasinski got the job.
It's time to spread game.
Fucking commercial.
Unless it was something else that I saw.
I'm always so worried about these, right? Because people put their own fan mades together.
And that's what I'm wondering, if this was a fan made one. But I saw one that was supposed to be like a Disney Plus one.
Reed, you're insane. Thanks.
How did we get this far? Human beings have an immeasurable desire to build, to invent, to discover. Our future depends on us further. These ideals. But with every new discovery, there is risk. There is sacrifice. There are consequences. A responsibility that rests on the shoulders of generations to come.
So is that a fake one?
I think so. I'm looking at the date. It's August 13th.
I think that one's a fake one, man. So, I was trying to find it. I thought I'd seen one.
When you Google Fantastic Four 2022, the first story from 12 hours ago is Marvel's Fantastic Four movie is ready to cast its iconic quartet. Huh.
seeing everything I had seen, I saw something that I thought there was supposedly.
Yeah, this screen culture is a big.
And it's a big. They're ones that make.
Yeah, they fucking faked me into following them or subscribing. And all they do is make me angry. They are clickbait whores.
They are. But there was something. I thought I'd seen something on. But maybe it was one of those ones. Maybe I got duped again. Because I thought I'd seen something that said he was.
I was looking at some of the other reboots coming. I think this one's out already. Is How I Met Your Father. With Hilary Duff. And they're doing it through a woman's eyes. A different story.
Oh.
Fresh Prince of Bel-Air is out already on Peacock.
I did see that.
New Criminal Minds is coming out on Paramount. Who cares about Joe Millionaire? The Flintstones?
Who's going to play them this time?
No. Cartoon. Elizabeth Banks is working on a sequel series to the iconic animated series of Flintstones. The show Bedrock will take place 20 years after the events of the original show.
Huh.
The story will follow the lives of the kids, Pebbles and Bam Bam, along with Fred, who is nearing retirement age. The world is also shifting from Stone Age, when the original took place, to the new Bronze Age, which requires adjustment for everybody. New Kids in the Hall. Did you ever watch that?
That's the Canadian kind of sketch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. I love Kids in the Hall.
Yep, they're coming back. New Frasier.
New Frasier.
Yeah. And I think Kelsey Grammer's the only one coming back. Of course, the dad's dead.
Yeah.
And I haven't thought of the brother since that show.
I've seen a couple things with him. So
Beavis and Butthead.
They're going to do another Beavis and Butthead?
Yeah, so I saw that, and I was reading them off to Tosh. And I saw that, and Toby, of course, heard the word butthead and started laughing.
Oh, yeah.
So I turned it on for him, thinking he would think it's dumb. And holy shit, he instantly turned into Beavis. Fuck.
It's awesome.
I don't know if it is or not. Eternals is out for streaming now.
I've seen that, and I haven't, yeah.
My plan is to get it this. I was going to start it last night, but it's almost 3 hours long. And last night was also release day for Book of Boba Fett. So I went that route instead. Have you watched that?
Book of Boba Fett?
Yeah.
I need to watch. Yesterday, it came out yesterday, right?
Yeah,
I have not watched that one. I'm not caught up to date because Benton wasn't home all day yesterday, so I have not seen that.
What were your thoughts first two episodes?
I'm not sure yet. I'm liking it, but I feel like there's something missing still. I do like the different perspective of. You know, the Tusken Raiders, but it's, I feel like something's missing and I can't figure out what it is.
Yeah, you're not going to find it in part three.
Okay.
Because I'm the same way. I'm like, it doesn't quite feel Star Warsy to me, although it's 100% Star Wars. It doesn't have that same, when you compare it to The Mandalorian.
Yeah.
The Mandalorian legit felt like a Star Wars show or movie separated into episodes. You know?
Yeah.
This one hasn't, I don't have that feel for it yet. Now, his sidekick or whatever, she is. Right? The girl?
Yeah.
She's badass.
Oh, yeah. She's awesome. And I think I kind of get what you're saying. Part of it for me is he's fucking Boba Fett. And I don't feel like he's Boba Fett.
Well, I mean, of course, and I don't either, but that's how it's supposed to be, right? It's because Boba Fett's ended. Like, I mean, everybody thought he was dead.
Yeah, but I mean, every once in a while I get that you know, that glimpse of the Boba Fett that I want, the one that's supposed to be the badass. That's it. I mean, Boba Fett's supposed to make Mando look like a pussy.
Yeah.
And I mean, we've all, our entire lives, Boba Fett was.
And he got whooped by the fucking, not sand people, the fucking Tusken Raiders.
Yeah.
Like, whooped.
Yeah. So, I mean, and that's kind of what, you know, where it's tough for me, because it's one of those, it's not the Boba Fett that I expected.
Yeah. The twins kind of bother me. They were.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Sorry. I don't remember them referring to him that way in the first couple episodes. But in the third episode, that's all they call him, are the twins.
That's.
And I'm like,
oh, or do you mean
the Hutts? Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
They refer to him as the twins. And I'm like, it bothers me. Like,
I can see that.
I think of the twins. I think of Mary Kate and Ashley Olsen. Far from a Hutt. You know? Far from a Hutt.
Far from it.
We do get Danny Trejo in this new episode. Which was
Danny Trejo's in it.
Which was just kind of cool to see. I have a feeling it's just a one-off. I mean, you'll see what role he plays. Like, I have a feeling it's just a one-off. But I hope they use it for more than that, just because it's Danny.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, it's true. We all love Danny Trejo. I mean.
Yeah.
Have to.
And then there was who was the other? 1 second here. There was another kind of cameo that I went, what?
See, I love that. Like, I've been playing the Far Cry series. Is a series that I love in video games. And there's a part of Far Cry 6 where you actually get to fight alongside Danny Trejo. So he's in the video game.
Oh, Steven Root. That's the other. Steven Root, of course, was Milton from Office Space.
Okay, yeah.
The geeky guy in Dodgeball. You know. Yeah. So I have faith because it's Jon Favreau, who of course did the Mandalorian series, which was fucking phenomenal.
Yeah.
So I have faith that it'll hook me, but as of right now, I don't know what, like, I'm not. I think my feelings are confused.
Yeah, and I could see that. But I think they're probably doing that to us on purpose.
I'm hoping.
But, I mean, you can hope. I mean, I keep hoping because it's one of those things I keep thinking of, you know, with WandaVision, where a lot of people had issues with WandaVision for the first 3 or 4 episodes. And then all of a sudden it was like, ooh. But for me, I was hooked to WandaVision the freaking first episode.
I was,
but,
too.
I mean, who knows? I mean, it could just be one of those things that maybe we need another episode for it to really settle in. But like I said, my biggest issue, like I said, is that it's.
But see, WandaVision, right? We didn't really have a huge attachment to what those characters were.
Yeah.
To me, in the original movies, you know, they were kind of throw-offs, throwaways. They're there, here, we introduced them. You didn't fall in love with them in Civil War. You didn't fall in love with them in, you know, Endgame. Like, you just didn't. Right? There was so much else going on that it was kind of a whole new story to us. A whole new character development, building, you know, which was fantastic. Yeah. But you said it yourself, like, we picture Boba Fett to be the most feared bounty hunter in all the fucking land.
Yeah.
And
I mean, you got to figure a character that literally, if you think about it, in the first, you know, was one of the most famous ones that everyone remembered was Boba Fett after the original trilogy.
Yeah, 7 total minutes on screen or something like that in 3 movies.
Like 7 minutes. And he still became the one that we're all like, that motherfucker, he's amazing.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of the problem that we run into. We've grown up with 7 minutes of Boba Fett that we're like, made him a god, basically. And now we're watching a thing and we're like, where's the god?
See, and I think I would have rather have had that story, right? Because you meet him as the son of Jango, as a young kid.
Yep.
And then you don't see him again until he's full-fledged bounty hunter in A New Hope. You get him for a split second in A New Hope, another split second in fucking Empire Strikes Back, and then your other 6.5 minutes in Jedi.
Yeah. And I was trying to remember, even in the New Hope, was he even originally in the New Hope, or was that one of the additions when they redid it? They remastered. I don't think he was even in the original. I think he's only in a scene where that was added in the remastering.
I think it's just a walk by. And I don't know if it was in Mos Eisley when they were getting Han.
Well, I think it was when in the new editions, and I haven't watched a lot of them because I still try to watch the old ones rather than the new ones. But there's a scene with my brain just went dead. Jabba the Hutt in A New Hope, and I think he's in that scene.
I just watched it the other night. God damn it! Now I was trying to remember because I want to say it was at Mos Eisley. I can't remember if he said it to him or right after he shot Greedo, or if he said it to Greedo when he was like, "Tell Jabba I'm getting his money. I'm taking these guys. Blah blah blah." And I'll have his money plus interest.
Maybe.
But I can't remember. God damn. And I literally just watched it. I was scrolling TV 4 or 5 nights ago, laying on the couch. And oddly enough, Toby was talking to me about Star Tours because that was his favorite ride at Disneyland.
Yeah.
And I was scrolling, and it was on TBS or something. And so I flipped it on. And it wasn't that far into it because Uncle Owen was still alive. They just bought the droids.
Okay.
So.
Let me see if I can find. He's in the Bad Batch. Oh, okay. La 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 la.
But I think the story I would rather have had is how he became the badass bounty hunter. Not how he became the crime lord syndicate there. And by the time you get to Mando, he's the underground crime lord syndicate.
Yeah.
Right? Because nobody even knows that Mando has no clue he's still around. I also want to know why his mask is off all the fucking time.
Because he was never really a true... Man, he was never a true Mandalorian.
He wasn't?
No.
Yeah.
And I think that's established in an earlier one with Jango Fett, that Jango wasn't a true Mandalorian, that he had, I think, stole the armor.
Oh.
But so I was reading, it looks like he originally, the first time he pops up is Empire Strikes Back. So he's one of 6 bounty hunters assembled by Darth Vader who promised a reward to whoever captures the crew of the Millennium Falcon.
In Empire?
Yeah. And then he's in Jedi.
So he wasn't added in I swear to God, New Hope's the one I just watched. New Hope's the one where they rescue the princess, right? And then blow up the Death Star?
In a 1997 special edition of A New Hope, Fett briefly appears in a reintroduced cutscene.
Okay.
So that's what I was saying, is I thought the scene that he is in A New Hope was one that wasn't originally in the movie. They added it later in the when they did the special edition. So in that scene, he walks through, is there outside the Millennium Falcon with Jabba. And Jabba confronts Han Solo, Fett standing there with him.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, because I knew damn well I fucking saw him. God, I was you're making me fucking question my everything. I'm like, I just watched the fucking movie. I know I've been all doped up on fucking cough medicine and blah 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 blah, but yeah. A lot of NyQuil in this system. Huh. That is for sure. A lot of NyQuil.
Yeah, I've been drinking a lot of that. We've been going through NyQuil and DayQuil like it's candy. Because none of us use this stupid cap. We just grab it and take a swig. So because the problem is the cups, there's got to be 5 cups roaming around this house because our cat, Ruben, immediately, once he gets a hold of one, he's playing with it and it's all over the house. And then we can't find it again.
Yeah.
He loves those lids, those cups. So
I've been taking the pills because I hate the taste of fucking DayQuil, NyQuil. Yeah. We bought both, but
I got the honey DayQuil, and oh, it's actually not too bad. I mean, it's not, I'm not going to drink it for fun, but it's better than the normal one.
Yeah. Yeah, I buy the liquid caps or whatever they are. So it has a liquid in it, but you don't taste it.
Yeah.
So, because I know the liquid's better for you than just the pill form, but yeah. Yeah, if you guys hadn't heard, the whole house here, but the wife got COVID after we got back from Disneyland. And all of us different symptoms.
That's what we received from a lot of people. For me, it's one of those. Like I said, I don't know if we had COVID. I know we got, all of us got sick. But it was a little bit different. For me, it was more sinus and a little bit of chest. Amber, it's been all chest cold. So yeah.
Bella was headaches, extremely bad sore throat, and a cough. No fever. I had a little cough, no sore throat, chest pains, still having chest pains, and body aches. I had 3 days of body aches that were unlike anything I've ever felt in my fucking life.
No.
Like,
that's not good.
No. Like, couldn't move, couldn't sleep, couldn't, just fucking horrific body aches. It was kind of like all 31 of those miles I walked in Disneyland caught up to me in one foul swoop.
I can see that.
But, I mean, it hurt to brush my hair or run my fingers through my hair or fucking anything. Fucking hurt. Toby had 2 days of a fever up over 102. And ever since, he has been fan-fucking-tastic. Just, it's driving me crazy because he's got so much fucking energy. And he's just going nuts. Araya was sick for like 2 days, and she's been good. And Tosh, nothing. But
that is crazy.
Did I send you the article today on another COVID symptom that we need to watch out for?
No.
Okay. I know you guys out there may not think COVID's real or it's not that bad or whatever, but let me send this over to you and then we'll talk about it. I'll send it to your messenger. I came across this story today. Man claims his penis shrank 1.5 inches due to COVID dick. Doctors say COVID dick is real. This was in the New York Post.
No. No, this can't. No, I can't afford to lose an inch and a half.
Me either.
I mean, I was happy they say if you lose 30 pounds, you gain 2 inches. I was finally able to see it for the first time last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, it doesn't say where this guy was at because this guy wrote into a podcast called, what the fuck was it called here? How to Do It.
Wow.
Because, of course, you want to stay anonymous. but he says it's ruined his sex life. He's got no confidence. Now, what makes me want to slap this guy, he talks about being an above average man before, and now he's just average. Well, what about us guys that are below average, and you're going to take an inch and a half? And, like, I get it. I can afford to lose 20 pounds, right? I can't afford to lose 320. Just like I could afford to shave 3 pubes. I couldn't afford to lose an inch and a half.
Yeah.
Like, I am prepared to tie a string around it and tie the other end of that string to the bumper of my car and stretch that fucker out as far as possible to make sure I don't lose anything. Are you reading the article?
Yeah. I'm just like, I keep wondering, I mean, is it actually documented, or is this just a guy trying to, like, you know, I mean, not to sound bad, I mean, do we have proof that he had above average penis and now it's 1.5 inches smaller? I mean, not that I want him to whip it out and measure for me and show me old pics, but I'm just,
so,
I mean, they do say, a doctor did say that it was caused by vascular damage.
Yeah.
That was caused by COVID. So, I mean, is it just like one of those things that's just not filling up all the way because it doesn't have enough blood flow?
ED can cause it to get smaller. Now, here's my fear. And I'm just going to chalk it up to fatigue and body aches. But a few days ago, I was in the shower, and it'd been a while. So I was like, well, let's see if I got enough in me. Couldn't do it.
I don't have any problems there, but I mean, so you're not going to talk size or anything. I'm just talking, it works in the shower. I mean, I know it works in the shower. I mean, I'm a married man. That's the only time I have to make it work, but yeah.
But that means I might have it. I don't want COVID dick.
So COVID causes a massive respiratory syndrome that leads us to a lot of the deaths, but there's also pretty significant vascular issues that occur with guys. Nobody talked about this. Where the fuck is this? This is going to make people go get the fucking vaccine.
Yeah.
If you tell me that I get COVID and my dick's going to get smaller, shoot me up. Give me 4 of those fuckers.
As many things have been, I don't want to call them lies because they're not lies. They're just premature science things, right?
Yes.
They were guesses before, maybe guesses should have been public or whatever the case may be. Throw another one of those guesses out there. Like you said, if you want to get guys vaccinated, that, hey, vax guys don't have this problem because the symptoms are lower.
Yeah. Your dick is not going to shrink if you get this. Like I said, you will have guys lining up and then getting right back in line and saying, give me another one.
Yeah. Yeah, 1, 2, and booster all on the same fucking day.
Give them all to me right now.
And then if it comes out, which they're already talking, right, that you're going to need booster 4 and blah, 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 they'll be first in line.
Yeah.
I mean, unfucking real. On COVID dick. Who? Fuck. Fuck. I'm not.
Well. Wait a minute. I'm reading farther down, and they say a typical regimen to try and fix this would be starting something like Viagra or Cialis to improve blood flow. And then another thing would be to buy a penis vacuum device. So they talk about a pump and do penis exercise with it or penis push-ups. What is a penis push-up?
I don't know, but you, so I thought I sent that article to you, but I sent it to Victor, who is a buddy of mine dealing with COVID right now as well. And that was his response to me was, well, it looks like I'm going to do penis push-ups.
All I can picture is, I can't remember what it was. It was some show. I can't remember what it was, where you see some guy doing push-ups with no hands and you're like, okay, we know what he's using. I mean, is that what you're going to do? You're just going to lay on the floor and make lift your body with your penis?
I'm really afraid to do this, but you know, guys.
He also suggested stretching the penis with a traction device named Restorex.
This is for
which
you
he
guys.
He says has reportedly elongated and shortened wee-wees by 1 to 2 centimeters with consistent use.
All right. So when the wife checks the browsing history and finds this.
These are easy things you can do at home to either prevent shortening or actually get back length that you've lost. So it says, so to make a long story short, just hang in there, guys. There's hope.
A Kegel training device that helps your penis do push-ups.
That chick looks really excited to see his penis. I've never seen a woman get that excited when I flash her.
Me either.
Usually it's like, oh, really? Is that all you got?
Just like women, men have a pelvic floor supported by a 13-syllable unpronounceable word, muscles. And training them can heed similar results, including improved bladder control. Why do I need bladder control? Have you ever peed during sex?
No, but I think it's so that, like, if you have to pee, you can control yourself better.
And enhance sexual pleasure. Although the female pelvic floor is known to weaken dramatically after childbirth, the male pelvic floor loosens strength gradually, starting as men approach their 30s, according to new research. So, Private Gym LLC announced on Tuesday the release of its new fitness program, which includes a 4-week interactive DVD exercise. Sorry, my mind straight went to fucking Richard Simmons.
Please God, I would love that. Just do a parody one of Richard Simmons. Do.
Oh my God.
Pelvic floor exercises for men. All right.
Oh.
Sweating to the oldies.
Oh, come on, girls. I fucking can't handle it. Oh, I don't even know if I can read the rest of this. A resource guide and a first FDA-approved male Kegel training device. It's a silicone weighted penis ring that works in conjunction with a weighted magnet that attaches to the underside of the ring, said to be hyperallergenic and designed for maximum comfort. Private Gym joins a budding market of similar products for men that include Kegel pad, upon which men are instructed to sit in a manner that makes contact between the perineum and the pad, with their scrotum hanging over the edge.
Oh, this is...
Kegels are then performed by sliding on the pad, and the company website describes them as push-ups for the penis. A device best described as a barbell for the penis is the Kegel male trainer, which is draped over the penis during an erection, and the user is to manipulate his organ in a repetitive lifting motion as he would his bicep. Yeah, I don't know if I'm going on.
Oh my God. We found these horrible things. The Kegel pad just looks like a fucking like mound that you sit on. I don't get it.
Oh, is there a pic? I didn't see the.
Oh, I looked up Kegel pad when I saw the thing for Kegel pad. I'm like, what the fuck's a Kegel pad?
Well, damn it. Now I got to go back and.
So it says health experts know that men who perform regular Kegel exercises will develop a stronger PC muscle and greatly improve overall pelvic health. Kegel pad exercise will improve bladder control issues, benefit prostate health, and a pleasurable fringe benefit will also increase the strength of an erection, improve ejaculatory control, and enhance your orgasms. Yay.
All right, let's see what this thing looks like here. That's not a pad.
No, go ahead. Oh.
What the fuck is that? That
but
looks
it's fucking
like,
$700.
That looks like a training
better strength
thing
than something.
That looks like a training thing at the MMA gym. So So just the styrofoam mound?
Yeah, that's the one there you go. That's on the left on that row. That's the one when I went to the Kegel Pad website.
And you just put
it just looks like a weird mound thing.
You just put your wiener on? Because that doesn't look very big.
No.
Breathable waterproof Kegel underwear?
I think that's for ladies after that, yeah. Well, there's a whole nerve stimulation. Whoa, okay.
What is this?
It's like hooked up to their pelvic region and then their foot. With electrode pads, they're gonna shock their Kegels. Holy crap.
Hold on here. Okay, I'm sorry, guys. I am fucking way too curious now. Google's like, fuck you, we ain't searching that.
It just comes up with push-ups. It took the penis part out completely.
Come on, baby. Well, time to go to work.
See, this is the one I was talking about.
All right, that's just a joke. I want the real exercise.
Oh, Jesus.
Not from Tenacious D.
Tenacious D is amazing.
Yeah, some of these sites I don't think I should open.
I think you should.
No. I don't think so. All right, yeah, fuck that.
Some of these I'm just like the shorts, what the fuck?
I don't know, but all of a sudden I'm really into a Richard Simmons-style video.
I think it would be amazing.
You got a fucking, like leg warmers, you have a cock warmer on. Have it half in spandex and then a cock warmer at the base. Oh, oh too fucking funny.
Fuck.
Too funny.
This one just looks like a bike seat.
Fuck.
I'm going to get that and put it on my bike. I'm going to exercise my Kegels while I ride my bike.
All right. Wow. We have...
We've taken this one right off
the fucking deep end.
Yeah, we did.
If you're trying to lose belly fat.
Sorry.
Yeah, I'm trying to lose that too, but first things first, man. I don't want to lose that and
Kegels.
An inch and
there's a whole video on Kegels for men, and I was going to look at it real quick, but then I forgot that now that we do it this way, that you can hear anything on my computer. So yeah,
that's awesome. That's awesome. All right, guys. So I guess moral of the story is avoid COVID.
Yeah.
However you want to do it, but avoid COVID, gentlemen. Either that or get it and allow me to compete finally. Yeah. So, all right, guys. Well, let's see. Comedy was last Wednesday, and I talked to you a little bit online. Said it went well.
Yeah, it went well. It went well because of the snow. It ended up being a completely different lineup, but it went well. Sherry, as always, I mean, she packed the room. People were there just to see her, so it was amazing. Just packed. Yeah, so it was great.
Good.
I was happy.
And your next show?
My next show is in February. Nah, and it's Todd Royce Barungi. And I'm a horrible person because I don't remember who the host is, but Todd and Barungi. So it'll be a fun show.
Good.
So, I mean, Todd's good and Barungi. I just, every time Barungi's there, I just keep hoping that he can top the last time when he sold a Ugandan comedian shirt to a 80-year-old man in an NRA hat. So, yeah.
Yep. And Todd's blowing up on TikTok, close to a million followers. And
he is.
So that should be a good show.
It should be. It should be a fun show. So it's going to be a blast. I'm out honestly doing on the 24th. So Monday coming up, I'm doing a show for Sherry's Unmentionables at Odd Otter. So
barring she's okay.
What's that?
I said barring she's okay.
I hope so. She better be. We can't lose Sherry.
So let's see. That's going to be the second is Cole Street with Todd and Burungi.
Yep.
And the 24th, where'd you say you are?
It's at Odd Otter in Tacoma.
Okay.
So, and I think that's a Monday.
I just had my calendar fucking open. And I didn't look. Let's see. It is a Monday. You are correct.
Yeah. So it'll be fun. I got a few shows. I when I posted on, you know, Facebook to get some people to try and get some new people into the show, I got quite a few contacts. So it's going to be, I think, the next few months. I'm booked already through April. I've got them all figured out. So it's going to be, I think, a lot of new faces that we haven't seen before. So
good.
Well, besides me, I'm going to do another set. So I think I'm going to feature one month. So
there you go.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Seriously, stay away from that COVID shit. It's not fun.
It's not. And if you do get it, I mean, just be smart about it. Stay home, relax, watch TV, and drink a lot of NyQuil.
NyQuil and water.
But not too much NyQuil.
I drink probably more water since January 1st than I drank all of 2021.
Yeah.
So, and then stay away from the new Mountain Dew. It's not very good.
Which is, I think that I got some downstairs. I haven't tried it yet.
The Mountain Dew Spark, the raspberry lemonade.
Yeah, I bought like 2 6 packs. They're downstairs. I haven't tried it yet. It's
not Mountain Dewy, I think, is my problem. It's not a bad drink. It's just not Mountain Dewy.
Yeah.
At all. So.
Yeah, I'm going to have to try it here after we're done. I'm going to go watch, I think, Boba Fett and try it out.
There you go. All right, guys. Well, with all that being said, remember to be excellent to each other.
Hug the ones you love.
And we'll see you next week.
See you later.